The opinions expressed by the final whistle are individual and are not necessarily re representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Welcome back to the Final Whistle. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Frelick, joined by
Dante Medica,
Matteo Colosimo,
Christopher Spott.
Today we're going to be talking about the NHL and NFL yet again. There's been a lot of crazy things that have happened since our last episode last week. Like, I know, Chris, there was something you wanted to mention.
Last week we were talking about how Jake Allen was possibly going to be the number one goalie in hockey, and we made a prediction that it won't last. And guess what? It didn't last. Jake Allen has plummeted down to the 24th ranked goaltender in saves, shutouts, and goal against average. Kind of disappointing, but we all kind of expected it to happen.
Yeah, he did let in a goal from the other end of the ice as well, which was pretty entertaining to watch. But yeah, I think we all kind of thought that that was not going to last. But I thought it was actually interesting. I wanted to ask you guys that there's a couple teams out there that are doing really well. Of course, the Rangers, I think everyone expected that they're doing well. But one that stands out to me that I actually going into the year thought they were going to be a top team, but a lot of people are kind of discounting their undefeated run right now is the Winnipeg Jets. I think the Winnipeg Jets are the real deal. I think they're a very good team. I think on the back of Connor Hellebuyck and a solid D line, they got a solid four lines. I really don't see why they're not the real deal, but I'm curious, do you guys think they're the real deal, or do you think this is kind of just, a little too much for them? Don't get me wrong, I think the undefeated streak is obviously too much for them, but do you guys think they'll be a top contender in the playoffs or no?
I could speak to that. I think the Winnipeg Jets, I think they're gonna make it far in the playoffs, but in my opinion, I feel like on defense they're still a bit lacking a bit. Like obviously they have Morrissey and Pionk, who are pretty good defensemen. But besides that, I feel like they need to get a few more better defensive defensemen on that side. As well, like they have a few young guys, right? Like Cole Perfetti. I think those guys need to kind of get a more experience this year, and I think probably heading into next year they'll probably be more of a cup contender. I think they'll kind of fall off a bit, but Connor Hellebuyck is definitely the best goalie in the league right now for sure.
Yeah, I think, it is a little early for that team. They are really young, like Matteo mentioned, but you never know. Young guys need playoff experience at some point, and once you're in the playoffs, all you need to win is 16, so anything can happen.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things where Winnipeg, we saw how good they were last year, how good Hellebuyck was. I believe he was a front runner and contender for the Vezina Trophy. I believe he won it. It's just a matter of how much the Jets can do in the playoff time because we know they lost in five last year. It was disappointing, but if you have a good regular season, it doesn't really matter if you lose in the playoffs, and that's something I want to see them turn around this year.
Yeah, I think that I think it's tough to call right now, but I do think they'll be I think they'll make a little bit of a run. I think it might be similar to oh my God, I can't remember from a couple of years ago. I was just gonna compare them to a team, but I think it's gonna be similar. There we have seen a couple teams where we don't expect much from them because they're young, but then they make the playoffs and they might win a round, but then go in the second round. I don't see them going to the Stanley Cup Finals or something like that, but I do think they can make a little bit of a run. And on the topic of hockey, I'm curious from Matteo and Ryan especially, how do you feel about your Penguins?
Oh
I'll let Ryan
my.
go first. I'll let Ryan go first.
Yeah, so I'm not one of the people on the Penguins side of social media that is really, really mad about the goaltending because all three of our goalies suck. None of them are good. But our main issue is our defenseman, our $11 million defenseman, Erik Karlsson, plays like he's a right winger trying to score goals like Ovi and trying to break the record where he doesn't have to play defense. Chris Letang is slightly better defensively, but still kind of useless in the defensive zone. Matt Grzelcyk is also terrible. When your best defenseman is Ryan Graves, the guy who everyone wanted traded because of how much we overpaid him last year and how terrible he was, you have a problem. And nobody thinks of defense as a problem. Everyone goes straight to blaming goalies when all of our goalies are at the top of the league and high danger chances against it. There's nothing they can do.
Yeah, I mostly agree with what Ryan said, but as well, like with the defensive, I think in goaltending, we haven't really found like a guy yet that's gonna be fully starting. Obviously, Jari right now, he's scratched. Nedeljkovic has been starting, but he hasn't been that great. Blom has probably had the best few games, but obviously he hasn't been that great either. Probably the highlights of the Penguins right now, probably like their third line. Lars Eller has been playing really well. Cody Glass has been getting a few plays. Obviously, Malkin has been playing really well. I feel like once Sid starts going, they'll be a bit better. They just need to figure out that first line with O'Connor and Rust. But after that, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year, but you never know. So.
Yeah, it looks like our window will be next year with we have a bunch of cap space opening. We'll have a bunch of room. Crosby took the same contract so that we can afford to pay other people next, like this upcoming offseason. So
Yeah, there's kind of a little bit of a problem in Pittsburgh when it comes to the structure of the team right now, and everyone I think is all over the place, to be honest. Like, I'm sorry, no offense to you two, but you guys have been good for so long. People are confused. People are like, wait, what? We can be bad? Like, I didn't know this team could be bad. And the past couple of years
oh, yeah.
have been that, like, that, you know, coming down from all those cups and everything with Crosby getting older, Malkin getting older, and you know they'll be back soon. I'm sure they'll be back soon. But yeah, it's been kind of that recently. And you know, now that I heard from you too, I want to hear from Chris as well, more based on the Leaf side of things, because I know we talked about some goaltending in the first podcast, and I'm curious. So like, I've obviously watched the last couple Leaf games. Hill to be started the one against Columbus, and then Wall started his first game back yesterday against the Blues. And I'm not going to judge Wall too quick, because I do like Wall, and it was his first game back in months. I understand, you know, it's tough to come back that quick. But I'm just curious, because I watched their last two games, and I'm not blaming goaltending. Their defense and just like team as a whole just looked like they were asleep. Like, I don't know what they were doing out there. It was a joke actually to watch that. I already thought against Columbus, I'm like, okay, it's, you know, whatever. You have a bad game, they'll bounce back next game, and then they put out another lackluster, terrible performance. I was like, okay, what is going on right now? And I'm curious, because I have not seen that one performance with Anthony Stolarz in net. Is he motivating the team? Sometimes there is a goalie that kind of just pushes the team harder, or like, what's going on? I'm curious. Do they have less confidence with Hildeby and Wall in net? Like, I want to know your view on it, Chris.
I think there's some uncertainty with Hildeby and Wohl at this point because Stolarz has been playing pretty well this year, posting a 1.83 goals against average and 0.938 save percentage, which ranks them both ninth in the league at this point in the season. I think they have to find their goalie too, in a way, where it'd be great to have three solid goalies. But I think with the uncertainty about Wohl that we've been talking about last week as well, it's just one of those things that you have to focus on. The Leafs need to figure out who their backup goalie is going to be. And I do like Stolarz. He's been doing very well this year. And I'm really excited to see what he can do in the rest of the season. Like, because right now, Stolarz is their starter. Like, there's no question about it. He's been very good this year. Very low goals against. Helps the offense get going. But you're right. You know, so there's really been some bad games from the Leafs. Some games were bad games. Some games are good games. That happens with every team, though. It's just a matter of, can they keep that good team consistency? That consistency will transform them from playoff team to Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, I agree. I know you guys are Pittsburgh fans, but do you guys have any insight on the Leafs?
Yeah, so this situation reminds me of a lot about what happened with Pittsburgh at the end of last season, where Tristan Jarry was putting up not great numbers, but better numbers than Alex Nedeljkovic. But the team was winning with Alex Nedeljkovic in net because they were just playing so much better when he was in net, where he wasn't facing the same high danger chances. He didn't have to make as many of the big saves that Jarry was not making. He just wasn't put in those bad situations, which seems kind of similar to what's happening with the Leafs this year.
Yeah, that does sound like it. To be honest, I actually to that point, sometimes it's weird to say, but sometimes when the team has less confidence with their goalie, they actually play better because they don't want to give up those high danger chances because they don't have much confidence that the goaltender is going to save it. I'm not saying this is the case with the Leafs. I'm not saying that's the case with the Penguins. I'm just saying that has been the case in the past. I've seen that with the Leafs in the past with like Frederik Andersen compared to Garrett Sparks. When Garrett Sparks was in net, they were diving in front of everything because they weren't as confident in their goalie, in my eyes. But yeah, Mateo, I don't know if you had anything to say to that.
No, I just wanted to say, I feel like I know it's really early in the season, but I feel like Matthews kind of has to step up as well. He's the captain this year. So I feel like in the dressing room, the captain is really what leads the team. 5 points in 8 games is not the greatest. I feel like he really needs to step up there. But looking at the points, Max Domi has actually been playing really well. 6 assists on that line with Nylander. But yeah, besides that, the goaltending, I feel like it's just once you get on a roll with a goaltender, I feel like a team gets kind of used to them, especially when I used to play hockey, when I used to get used to playing with a goalie when I was a defenseman, I would just feel more confident. And then when you get put in with a new goalie after a while, it kind of gets like, how do I say it? You're not really familiar with the style of play of the goalie. So you kind of have to do a different type of defensive coverage, which leads to a lot of goals. So, yeah.
It even has to do with like a point of trust. Like to your point, Mateo, it's about trusting your goalie in a way. Like there's a lot of goalies who's like, okay, this guy's a new goalie. Let's put some extra defense on him, get him comfortable with the team, right? Like
Yeah,
the
exactly.
defenseman needs to be on the same page with the goalie.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that again transforms a team from good to really good. It's like in football where a receiver needs to have sort of like an unspoken bond with this quarterback. They just need to know what each other's going to do. And with a rookie goalie, it's going to be kind of hard to have that connection. You just have to build it. It comes with time. Like a lot of this stuff, it comes with time. And I think just a lot of Leafs and Leaf fans, they need to be patient. And eventually it'll transform into something beautiful as throughout the season. And when come playoff time, they'll have that unspoken connection with goalie, defenseman, center, left wing coach. They'll just have that sense of trust. They'll know what to do, where to go, and it will help the team further its chances.
Speaking of football, let's move into that side of things here. And this, for me, is the first time I have been excited since week two. Tua's back. He is the only good thing about the Miami Dolphins football team at the moment. Hopefully he makes the other good things good again, because Tyreek Hill is having a historically bad season, along with Jaylen Waddle, who both last week had a combined 2 targets for 1 catch.
Pretty good.
Tyreek Hill's 1 target, he stopped trying midway through the route, and the ball would have been a touchdown because it was a good ball. He just didn't run through it. There has been nothing I've wanted to do more than throw my TV out the window while watching this team. And it won't happen this week because Tua's back until he inevitably leaves again. But he's back for now, so we're gonna look at it that way.
Yeah, that's exciting. That is exciting. I have to say too, my sister's a Dolphins fan, and all I hear about lately is that they suck and they're terrible. And then as soon as Tua comes back, everyone's excited again. And you know, it is a big deal. It's even, you know, you look at like a lot of even the numbers of the players. Like you look at the games Tua was in for, Tyreek Hill's numbers, Jaylen Waddle's numbers look like they're playing on two different teams compared to their numbers when Tua went out.
Yep. We went from, he's the most valuable player in football. We went from the number one ranked offense with him last season to the number 32 ranked offense without him this year. He is the most valuable player in the league.
Yeah, can't argue that.
But Mateo, I know you're excited that your Pittsburgh Steelers are letting Russ cook.
Yes, sir. Mr. Tomlin made a great decision putting in Russ in that last game, even though I feel like Justin Fields wasn't playing too bad. Still, some of his throwing wasn't the greatest. He was doing a lot of running plays. But last game, Russell had two touchdowns and 264 yards. He played an amazing game. Najee Harris is starting to come back. He got a touchdown last game and the game before. And finally, George Pickens, he had a breakout game. He was kind of waiting for that to happen. The past few games, he was getting covered really well. I've noticed in the games that I've watched that they've been double coveraging George Pickens because besides him, who else is Fields going to pass to? There's not much else. Calvin Austin, Van Jefferson, and Freiermuth in Washington. But yeah, I was really happy from what I could see. Hopefully, Mr. Unlimited could keep it going in the coming weeks. But you never know with the Steelers. Some weeks they play good, some weeks they play bad. You just kind of just have to go with the flow a bit.
Yeah, the way I see it here is Russ throws George Pickens open, where Justin Fields throws to George Pickens when he's open. And George Pickens isn't the type of receiver that's going to be open. He's the type of receiver that is just going to take the ball from the defender no matter what. He is, he like, whatever. He is the definition of he's down there somewhere. That's all
That's
he
a
is.
good, that's a great receiver to have, though. You need a receiver who's able to go and get you the ball instead of waiting for the ball to come to you. And you gotta love those kinds of receivers, don't you?
Depends on what team they play for.
Oh yeah, you know, there's lots of receivers in the league. I'm just gonna name a few here. Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson. Ring any bells?
Well, I think that's a great sign for Chris to talk about his Packers.
Oh yeah, I set it up perfectly. So, you know, the first game of the Packers season, it was not bad. Jordan Love went two touchdowns, one pick, and he went out with a sprained knee. Not a great start for the Pack. Then they came back with Malik Willis, lost to the Vikings, and are a nice three-game win streak. They beat the Texans last week on October 20th, 24-22, where the Packers were leading for most of that game, 21-19. Texans took the lead with a field goal. The Packers won with a game-winning field goal. Jordan Love, he looked decent. I like kind of like his play style. He's out there. He's one of those quarterbacks who I think could use some work on his decision making a little bit, but when he throws the ball, it's just fun to watch. You know, although you don't know if it's gonna be a pick or a touchdown, and there's not really any in between. Like I like to say he's a mix of Favre and Rodgers. Rodgers liked to be conservative with the ball. Brett Favre just launched the ball deep. And you don't know which Jordan Love you're getting in each play. And it's just fun. It's like a whole mystery. And I do like the receiving core this year. What's his name? Romeo Doubs has been trending upward. I know he was suspended for a game with the Packers, but since that suspension, Romeo Doubs has been an absolute tear. Because also Jaden Reed's been out. Well, he's been injured with an ankle injury, but it's not really too big of a deal. It's just sort of teams kind of figured out Jaden Reed a little bit. So they're kind of using Bo Melton, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, even more. Like all these guys, you don't know which Packers receiver is going to go off that game. And that's what makes this team fun and exciting. They beat the Texans this week. Their defense lit up 3 points in the second half. What other team is doing that right now? Jeff Hafley has turned this defense around. And I'm so glad they moved on from Joe Barry because I could not handle another Joe Barry third down prevent on third and one. That was the most brutal experience for the last 3 years. But Packers are contenders this year. Moving on.
Yeah, another team that is not doing that, but is off to a pretty good start. Let's have Dante get into his Washington Commanders a little bit.
Yeah, so let's talk about a better team than the Packers. So,
Whoa.
the Washington Commanders. Actually, I have to say I'm, you know, not as happy because obviously last week Jaden Daniels suffered a rib injury. And I'm not gonna lie. I'm not, obviously I'm not happy about the injury, but I am very, very curious to see how this team does with Mariota at quarterback rather than Jaden Daniels. Obviously, Mariota is nowhere close to as good as Jaden Daniels. But he's still not a terrible quarterback. He's not like, you know, they're just gonna fall apart and have, you know, zero touchdowns and, you know, go from being having the most points in the league to, or sorry, tied for the most points in the league to getting 0 points. Like that I doubt. They're playing the Bears this week, which it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a very tough game. You know, it would have been an interesting game if Jaden Daniels actually could have started, because Caleb Williams is on the other side, obviously. But it'll be an interesting game. Like, the offense this year has been way better than I expected. You know, they're fifth in yards. They're in the middle of the league for passing yards. They're third in rushing yards, tied for first in points, third for third down percentage. Like, the offense is doing their thing. Defense is a little more iffy. They're in the middle of the pack right now. And obviously, I mentioned last week, Jonathan Allen is out for the year, which is pretty unfortunate for them. But I don't know. I have high hopes. They're 5-2 right now. I'm expecting Jaden Daniels probably to be back next week, maybe the week after. But we play the Bears this week. Even if we suffer a loss there, yeah, that brings us to 5-3. But I like our matchup. We got the Giants next week. I like that matchup. Then we play the Steelers. I don't mind that matchup. We play the Eagles. We have a lot of divisional games coming up. This is where we will decide our season. This is right here is where we decide it. If we can beat the Cowboys, we can beat the Eagles, we can beat the Giants. That's how we're deciding our season. So I still think we can beat the Bears. It's in Washington. But I'm not gonna lie, with Mariota at quarterback, I think it's going to be a very, very close game, and I think it's going to come down to a field goal. What, like, for one team, I just don't know who's going to take it, to be honest.
Before we wrap it up here, can each of us give our Super Bowl pick at this point with a brief, very brief reason?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. I think it's going to be a Packers Chiefs Super Bowl. Like, zero bias aside, I've seen enough of the Packers where I feel confident in their both run game and pass game that they're able to squeak out of the NFC this year. I say the Chiefs, they just traded for DeAndre Hopkins, and their defense has been at an all-time best, probably one of the all-time great defenses that we're seeing this season. So if I were to pick one, I do think the Chiefs will probably win the Super Bowl, unfortunately. I think, even though I'd love for the Packers to win, I think that the Chiefs defense is just too well seasoned for them not to win this year.
That's fair. I'll make it quick. I'll make mine quick. I'm gonna go with I like the Ravens, I like the Lions. I'm gonna go Ravens Lions. I know a lot of people disagree, but I like the Lions this year. I think they're gonna do pretty well in the playoffs this year. I won't lie, I don't know how much faith I have in Jared Goff, but I do think I don't really have an explanation. It's kind of just a gut feeling. And the Ravens, I just think with Lamar and Derrick Henry, like, you know, that kind of new backfield, I don't know. I just have a good feeling about both of them.
Yeah, well, Dante, you make mine a lot shorter because that was my exact prediction I was going to say with
Oh.
the Lions beating the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Well, since mine gets to be really short now, thank you for tuning into the final whistle, and we'll see you next week.
Jackpot, Kansas City! Is this the tiger?